strong defence. Now, St. Patrick, as he's known, or Patrick, as he's listed there, was very aware that the best offence, or the key to a strong offence, is a strong defence. And that's why he wrote this prayer. It's known as Patrick's Breastplate, or Patrick's Lorica. Lorica is a Latin word for breastplate. It is a prayer of defence, a prayer that reminds him of where and who he is, and asks for protection in a situation. I mean, how many? I wonder how many of us actually remember that it was St. Patrick's Day today. Obviously, I did, because I've planned this way. But it's easy for us who don't hold the saints' days to forget these things. The 1/16th or 1/32nd or whatever it is of me that's Irish is maybe celebrating here. The rest of me is more excited about the idea of Christ, who could cause Patrick to live in the situation he did, and shine as brightly for Christ as he did. We talked about the suffering church, and Patrick was in a very difficult and dark situation. I'll just go remind you of some of the facts. I love telling the story of this great missionary. He was a local lad, came from just up the coast, perhaps near St. Bees, or just into the border in Scotland. And he was kidnapped by Irish raiders, taken as a slave to Ireland, where he spent his younger days. He had a daring escape, and he managed to get back to England and then to the continent, where he became a monk. And yet God placed a burden on him when he knew this Christ, to take this Christ back to the people who had captured and enslaved him. People who were seen as nothing better than brigands and pirates. And yet those were the people with whom Patrick wanted to share the gospel of Christ. Those were the people who Patrick wanted to see made his brothers and sisters. However dark our spiritual situation might seem, Patrick was in a situation where human sacrifice was a normal part of ritual worship. And in that spiritual darkness, where he was probably very aware of the need for the armour of God, Patrick knew that he needed a protection. And so he had this prayer, this lorica, this breastplate, a prayer to be prayed. Some people try and memorise it. It's actually much longer than these five verses we have in this hymn. It's definitely worth memorising just that bit in verse 4. Christ be with me, Christ within me, Christ behind me. Without Christ, we can do nothing. That's our connection here as we think about the breastplate of righteousness. Because that's all that Patrick's breastplate was an imitation of, the breastplate of righteousness. Let's start my first point. Let's get the breastplate in place. If you want armour to be any use, you have to put it on. It's no good just sat there. It's not going to deflect any weapons if you're not wearing it. Getting the breastplate in place. Of course, a breastplate is a vital piece of armour. It protects all your vital organs, all the bits you need to stay on the inside and not have a sword or a dart or an arrow or a javelin put on the outside. Of course, it was one of the biggest and heaviest pieces of a Roman soldier's kit. That's the armour that Paul maybe is bringing to mind as he speaks about the armour of God. This breastplate, what was common in the Roman Empire at that time, there was some mail, but they also had this kind of scaled armour that would either be little panels of metal, sort of sewn or hooked onto leather, or overlapping bands. Will be a very good defence, because of course any attack that comes in would sort of glance off these overlapping panels. It is a strong defence, is a breastplate. Not just, I mean, some commentators try and talk about how, I think it's in Pilgrim's Progress, which we now have many more copies of in the library, just so you know, that, you know, it covers the front, so you've got to attack. But this breastplate that the people reading this letter, the Ephesians, would have been familiar with, covered front and back. It was a solid defence. And this is the believer's defence, the breastplate of righteousness. Throughout Ephesians, Paul builds up this idea, and when he talks about righteousness, principally in Paul, he's talking about justification. He's not talking so much, although I'll come to that in a moment, not so much about the personal holiness that every Christian should be attempting to build into their life. He's talking about the imputed righteousness, the granted righteousness that is given to people who stand, catchphrase of Ephesians, in Christ. Christ is the breastplate of righteousness. If we're to put on the breastplate of righteousness, we need to be where? In Christ. That's why I think this prayer of Patrick is so helpful, because it reminds us every day you could pray this and say, Lord, I need to be in Christ. I will not be protected if I am not in Christ. I will not stand against the enemy if I'm not in him. I don't have the strength myself. I know I can't build my own righteousness, not a righteousness that will be strong enough or solid enough to stand against these darts, the enemy's accusations. I mean, how many of us have had that experience? Maybe you've been doing, you've had a good week, you've done some good deeds, been a good Boy Scout or Girl Guide, you've done a good deed every day, you've not done so much, and then just when you're feeling like you're a good person, that little dart comes flying in from the enemy and he reminds you of this thing that you did, or that thing that you've done, that word you said, that deed you committed, that person you hurt, and all your pride in your achievement, your pride in your own holiness comes crumbling and crashing down. If you build your own righteousness, if you try and forge your own breastplate, it will not stand up to the attacks that it's going to receive. There will be some offence, some little arrow that the devil can throw that will break through. You need to get the right breastplate on. A breastplate that is the righteousness that can be given to us only in Christ. Paul talks earlier on about putting on the new self. It's an idea he builds through Ephesians. To be dressed in righteousness, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Not through our own efforts. We're saved by grace through faith. Not our own work, so that no one may boast. But a righteousness that was not ours. So we call it alien righteousness. It is given to us and it is more robust than any we could ever build. If you're going to put the breastplate on, put on Christ. And I have to ask you, do you know, are you confident that you have put on this breastplate? Do you realise that if you have, the righteousness that defends you is not just your own ability to obey the law? It is a good thing to keep God's law, but it is not enough to defend you if that's all you have on your side. There will be a crack in your armour, and one crack will be enough to let through a fatal weapon. Get the breastplate in place. Put on Christ. Secondly, I'm improvising here a bit because I was... I originally just had 2 points and then I scribbled one out this morning as I realised it was there all along and I hadn't noticed it. We've got to get the breastplate in place. Secondly, trusting in the breastplate. This is not just any armour. I mean, if you ever go to a museum, you know, you go to the Royal Armouries or, you know, Tully House up in Carlisle, you see these impressive suits of armour. I was actually just there a few months ago seeing this Roman armour, just like Paul will be talking about, and you think that could defend you pretty well. And that's the image that Paul wants in the minds of his readers, this impressive panoply of armour that would protect you. But this isn't just putting on some armour that might protect you a bit. Remember, Paul's readers are always immersed in the Old Testament. Paul is a pain to study in detail because he's always referring back to the Old Testament. You can't avoid cross-referencing like crazy when you're studying Paul because he's assuming that his readers know the Bible much better, sadly, than we know the Bible. The breastplate is a breastplate that is worth trusting in because it is not any old piece of armour. In Isaiah 59, it speaks about God putting on righteousness as his breastplate and the helmet of salvation that we read about on his head. So when Paul says, put on the armour of God, you know, we perhaps think of put on the armour of God as in put on the armour that God has sort of prepared for you. There's a stronger sense than that. He's saying put on God's own armour. This is the armour that God wears. Now you think of how the Greeks perhaps thought of their gods and how the Vikings would think about their gods. And no doubt how the Irish that Patrick went to evangelise, thought about their gods, and they'd have these artefacts, these weapons and pieces of armour that they would claim had belonged to some god. And they'd have them in their temples, and people would come and pay money to get to see the helmet of Mercury, or the shoes of Zeus, or, you know, the sandal strap of one of the Viking gods, you know, Thor's hammer or Odin's spear or all this kind of thing. And they would think that was impressive. But our God is greater than those gods because our God is real. If you were to put on his armour, you could stand against any of those weapons of those false gods. That's just something a man has made and lied about to impress people, to make money from. Paul says, put on God's own armour. So this breastplate, once it is on, you can trust in it. There is no weapon that can pierce God's own armour. The mighty power of this Lord. Do you realise? Have you ever thought about the exceptional protection that you must have if you are a believer who is clad in this armour? Not just clad in some magic armour, but clad in God's own armour. Christ within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ to seek me, Christ to win me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ in quiet, Christ in danger, Christ sustaining all who love me, Christ uniting friend and stranger. A breastplate that will defend you against any assault, that cannot let you down. It will be unimaginable for God's own armour to have some weakness, for God's own armour to fail to defend you. And I love just the imagery that Paul is drawing on in talking about the breastplate. And you think of the shield of faith. We all struggle sometimes with doubts. And our faith is very feeble at times. It feels so weak. You know, if you're fighting in a shield war, you have to hold your shield up to protect you. And we know how often that shield drops. It feels heavy, our arm feels weak, and our faith drops. And yet, if you're wearing the breastplate, even if Satan's darts pass past the shield, if you've dropped your guard and the darts get over that shield, you remain protected. Once it's on, in a sense, you could just not think about it and you would be protected. This is armour that you can trust. This is armour that works. This is a breastplate that will keep you safe by his side. Thirdly, we've got the breastplate in place. It is a breastplate which we can trust. But thirdly, it is a breastplate which can be polished. Keeping the breastplate polished. Assume we've got this armour on. What next? We've got it on, we feel confident that it's going to do the job, but it needs polishing. I mean, it's not any old armour. We can't imagine that God's armour would rust or fade with time or grow weak. But think about it this way. As Paul, as I've said, he's talking about justification principally. The fact that you are made righteous. You are given this new legal standing when you put on the new self, when you stand in Christ so that the devil can't look at you and say, guilty. Because he has to look at Jesus and say, guilty. And he can't say that because Jesus isn't guilty. All of your sins, if you are in Christ, have been paid for. And this righteousness, this holiness, this justifiedness is given to you. It's also a very clear Pauline teaching that personal holiness needs to be pursued. A clean conscience is a powerful weapon to every believer. You can look on the breastplate and feel the protection that it provides, but if you live a sinful life, if you live a life that denies who Christ has made you, you will be miserable. You might pursue your every desire, but you will not be happy because that's not who you are anymore. Why do we give the devil so much ammunition to use against us? You know, we're singing about safe from Satan's darts, I'll be safe at his side. You think, if you're fighting an enemy, you don't give them more ammunition. They've already got enough. You don't help them out with it. You might be safe against those darts, but why give them any more to throw at you? Why make your life harder by not giving yourself the benefit of a clean conscience? That's why I tried to talk about this idea of polishing. Because I thought it's not an idea of maintenance. We can't maintain God's armour in that sense. Even if we didn't look after it, if we are truly in Christ, we will be safe. You know, maybe there was some dirt on top of the armour and it'll still work. But if you keep it polished, if you keep it shining, if you can stand proudly and confidently protected in Christ, then you will trust in that armour all the more. If you look down at your breastplate and it's tarnished and it's stained and you're aware of your own sin and the devil's he's almost getting under your armour and poking at your conscience and saying, see, you must not be a believer. If you were a believer, he'll say, you wouldn't have done that. You can't be in Christ if you've done that. You're giving him ammunition. You're making his job easier. But if you look down at your breastplate and it is bright and shining, you will feel confident in that armour. You will feel like you are fit for the fight. You are ready for battle. You will go out and stand on the evil day. You will do amazing acts for this great Lord. We can't make ourselves righteous, but once God has done it for us, we need to pursue holiness. We need to be practical about it. We need to be doing everything we can to look after, to polish the this armour that God has given to us. Now, if we are in Christ, even if we make mistakes, that armour will remain effective. But why don't you want to be more ready to fight on the Lord's side, to fight in these battles, to fight not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces? There's something we need to be doing. We stand in Christ. We've still got work to do. You've been given the armour, you've been dressed in it, but you need to make sure that it's clean. Is your conscience clean? Are we willing to put on Christ day by day? Are we thinking practically about how we can pursue a life of holiness? Are we thinking practically about how we can make sure that the breastplate is kept polished? Things like regular times of prayer. And we're talking very simply about habits that we all need to develop, you know, routines that we need to put in place. Because life is difficult, it is busy. If we do not make the effort to put these things into place, if we don't make the effort of looking after the armour that God has given us, then we can't expect that the time will suddenly appear to do that. Do we set aside regular times of prayer? It might not be long. If you have 5 minutes in the morning after you've got up, when you're waiting for the kettle to boil or something, you can be praying. Do it every day. You can learn prayers like this one, Patrick's Lorica. If you struggle to pray, you know, when you've got up first thing, when you've got getting ready to go out to work, if you can learn prayers, the Lord's Prayer, anything that gets you praying, that gets a bit of gas in the engine, you know, get the clutching gear or whatever you do. We don't have those sort of, you know, choke things anymore, so I don't know how they work, but you know what I'm talking about. It is wise to make use of every practical help that we can get to pursue holiness. If you've got armour and you've got a tin of Brasso on the shelf, you need to get that Brasso. You need to actually get a cloth and start using it. It's no good having it and not using it. We are given the gifts, the weapon of prayer. Are we going to use it? We're given times to meet together and pray with other believers. We don't always find it very easy to pray on our own. But when others pray, we can pray along with them. Maybe we haven't got the words. If they've got the words, they will help us to pray. Learn about practical ways to resist temptation. If there's something that the devil is always using to hammer a dart at you, to put a crack in your conscience, think about practical ways, practical things you might need to do so that the devil won't have an opportunity to tempt you with it. Whatever it might be, think practically how you can avoid it. If it's a group of people who are always leading you into some old sin maybe that you had in your old life, then you might need to consider not meeting up with them, perhaps not as a group anyway. Meet with them one on one if it's easier for you to avoid temptation that way. Think about practical resolutions you can make. And I've got a copy of Jonathan Edwards' resolutions that he made. You might not want to keep all of them. I think there's over 90. But and he made those in his 20s while he was studying at college. But he was serious. He was practical about polishing the breastplate of righteousness. Practical questions to ask yourself. How, Lord, have I finished this day better than the last one in my Christian walk? At the end of every, I think that's one of his resolutions, resolved at the end of every day, week and year to consider, you know, in what ways I have improved my Christian witness. And if you haven't, if you say, I've backslidden this past week, I've backslidden this past year, then resolve to seek God's help to do better. there's nothing wrong with being practical. Polish is practical. Beautify the breastplate that has been given to you. That is what we're called to do, to beautify the life of Christ within us, to seek His help, to pursue His glory in everything that we do. Get the breastplate in place. Trust in the breastplate. And once it's on, once you know you can stand protected against every accusation of the enemy who prowls around like a roaring lion looking for people to devour, we have a fearsome foe. But remember, we have a mightier God. We have in Christ an impregnable defense. There is no dart that can get through the breastplate of righteousness. Even when our faith fails, Christ will not fail. Put on the full armour of God. Seek the Lord's help in looking after it, so that we can use it, so that we can be bold for Christ, so that we can fight this spiritual battle dressed in Christ. Let's sing our final hymn, if I can remember where my hymn book is. Here we are. Lord, be my vision supreme in my heart. Bid every rival give way and depart. You my best thought in the day or the night, waking or sleeping, your presence, my light.